Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Arvind Smart Spaces Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. On the call, we have with us Mr. Kamal Singhal, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Avinash Suresh, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Ankit Jain, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Prakash Makwana, Company Secretary. Please note that a copy of disclosures is available on the investor section of the website of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited, as well as on the stock exchanges. Please do note that anything said on this call which reflect the outlook towards the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. With that, I would like to hand over the floor to Mr. Kamal Singhal for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for starting this conference, and I welcome all the participants for sparing time to join this call. Thank you very much again. Coming to the results that we've just announced for the financial year ending 2022 March, and also the quarter, the last quarter, Q4 of 2022. It's been two consecutive years of very significant and healthy growth and momentum for us. Last year, ending March 2021, saw one of our best years in terms of fresh sales at 500 crore plus for the first time. Obviously, we knew that to be able to achieve this momentum, we need to invest in the pipeline. Of course, due to COVID and ambiguities attached thereon, we obviously had a kind of a pause in our investment cycle because we wanted the uncertainty to kind of recede before we again open up the investment cycle in a big way. That happened, of course, last year when we achieved a very, very healthy sales, fresh sales, so to say. The great news is that the momentum has continued through this year. From 500 crore plus, we've clocked a number of 600 crore plus this time. Of course, with the revival of investment cycle, we are now looking at significant inventory getting added in near future so that we have more avenues to sell, more products to sell, more geographies to sell, more micro markets to sell. All those blocks, when it comes to creating the pipeline are in place. We are hopeful that we will do all that. Just for a moment, coming back to the macro side and economy in general, I think we've seen some tremendous turnaround in various parameters, macro and micro, that were possibly a little far-fetched. They were sounding a little far-fetched during the crisis, during the pandemic crisis, so to say. Of course, most of the things have moved on. We've seen a very stable regime in terms of interest rates, in terms of costs, et cetera, last 24 months. Of course, affordability has been at its highest with the lowest kind of interest, with the lowest kind of stable and lowest kind of raw material prices and demand getting, you know, accumulating due to pandemic pause that we saw. Then also a basic change in the mindsets of people. It all added up to an environment which kind of delivered the kind of growth we saw. We sincerely believe that even if there are some small structural changes happening here and there, the momentum will continue. We've seen that in the last four quarters, and we are very hopeful that this will remain so in near future. The keywords here are that, you know, there is a significant amount of consolidation happening in favor of trusted corporate players. Residential focus has really paid off for the players who are focused. Mid-price housing is doing great, and it's supposed to be the main driver, and it's something that we all like, and we want to clearly have a focus on those, and we are doing that. B towns like Bangalore, Pune, Ahmedabad, et cetera, are doing great, and they are very, very consumption-oriented markets, less dependent upon investors and hence more sustainable. These markets are more sustainable, doing good, and expected to do a great place with a great track record in terms of governance, etc., etc. I think that's something which is playing out in the market in a much better and significant way. And anything which has a track record, people who have delivered in the past, people who have stronger balance sheet, people who are not burdened with that kind of reasonable, manageable leveraging levels, etc., etc. I mean, those are the guys who possibly become stronger and stronger. So we have an environment where strong players are expected to become stronger, and the B category developers possibly will be getting marginalized, so to say, if that's the right word to use. So all in all, a great business environment and great opportunity for all of us and people like us to grow and consolidate. Coming to this year's numbers, we have witnessed a growth of 14% in fresh sales to 601 crores from 529 crores. The revenues grew by 72% to 257 crores. EBITDA by 21% to 49 crores from 40 crores last year. PAT by 106% on a small base, 25 crores against 8.7 crores last year. Our collections were very healthy, and that's a great setup. In fact, this is possibly one of the reasons that we wiped out our entire debt, and we are sitting on a surplus as we speak, which is waiting to be invested in newer projects. So collection grew by 83% to 595 crores against 326 crores last year. We launched two projects, rather two phases of the existing projects. One is called Chopping Woods and Forestry Phase 4 in Ahmedabad during this year, which meant an inventory release of around 14 lakh square feet. For the quarter, similarly, fresh sale actually shows a decline of 27% to 150 crores. But this is against a quarter last year, which saw two significant launches, and that's how this decline is visible on a piece of paper. But what basically this says is that the momentum of a 50 crore run rate on a monthly basis is continuing. We clocked 600 crores for the year and 150 for the quarter. So in that sense, it's in place. Operating revenue grew to 161 crores because we just recently received a couple of building use permissions, which obviously then augment the revenues in the books of accounts, and that's the reason that we show a very hefty growth here to 161 crores vis-a-vis 64 crores last year. EBITDA is at 22 crores against 14.9 crores last year, PAT at 14 against 6.6, and collections are also fairly healthy at 160 crores vis-a-vis 133 crores last year. And of course, as I said, interest, we have a negative kind of interest-paying funds now to the tune of 107 crores. And that's mainly a result of very healthy cash flow that we've had. So this is all in all the summary of numbers and the kind of micro environment that we're witnessing. There are, of course, a lot of tailwinds that we just discussed in terms of consolidation, in terms of viabilities, in terms of opportunities, in terms of consumer orientations to buy bigger and larger and better houses, in terms of government policies to push affordable and even other kind of houses. So in the marketplace, a lot of spending and augmenting the spending and infrastructure from the government side, etc., etc. These are obviously great tailwinds for all of us. And at the same time, off late, post the quarter, we've also seen some of the headwinds, possibly if we can call them right away, maybe a little premature, but interest rates after almost, I mean, I think more than 6 or 8 consecutive quarters we've seen. Interest rates for the first time showing trends of, you know, increase, so to say. We'll see how it plays out in the marketplace. But there definitely is a trend which is showing its early kind of signs where interest rate might start becoming or might get consolidated to a certain extent. The other aspect to watch out for is the input cost, which obviously has gone up dramatically in the last 3-4 quarters. As compared to last year, the increase has been significant in any case. So that is another thing to watch out for. We are taking appropriate enough and more steps to see how we get impacted to the least possible extent, and to whatever extent such increases in cost can be passed on to the market without really affecting the demand in any significant way. But having said that, these two things are to be watched out for in the times to come. So that's pretty much from my side. Maybe we can now have questions and answers. You may raise questions if you have any.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Kirti Jain from Canara Robeco, HSBC UBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. Congratulations for excellent year end, I would say. Sir, my first question is with regard to the progress on the launch of the Sarjapur project and Devanahalli project. Where are we and any contiguous business development we have been able to do with regard to either of the projects, if we can highlight, that would be great.
Yeah, so we have been progressing fairly decently on both these launches. And as we speak, we are coming closer and closer to launch these two projects in sequence. We hope that at least one of them will be launched in H1. And in fact, even the other one might get launched within H1 itself, if not one month here and there. So we are progressing well. Devanahalli phase one, which is around 27 acres, the land use has happened already. It's in our hands. The final leg of approval in terms of getting the plans approved is happening as we speak. So it's all in place. For further aggregation, Devanahalli is the project where we could add more land. And as we speak, we have crossed 60 odd acres of total land acquisition there. I guess earlier it was more like a 35-40 acres. Now we've crossed more than 60. So of course, this project has increased significantly in terms of size and scale. And we are not stopping still, and we want to invest more and make it bigger, to the extent of anything between 80 to 100, that's the endeavor. And as of now, it's 60 plus, but there is a scope to take it up further. And we are happy with the size that we've achieved in a short span of time. And aggregation is one of the key kind of trigger in this business of plotting, etc., and horizontal development. And we're happy to inform that it's on track and we've achieved what we wanted to achieve. On the Sarjapur project, that's also coming closer and closer to the launch, and the endeavor is to launch it within this half one itself. Most of the things are progressing very fine and smooth, and hopefully that gets launched simultaneously. In this project, well, it's a JD project, so further acquisition is not something that we are directly trying ourselves. We are open to the idea of expanding it, but through the JD partners, because we are not investing in any significant way on the land on this. But having said that, this is not a plotting project in Sarjapur Road. It's a villa project. For a villa project to be spanning 16 plus acres is fairly decent in size and gives you something like a 650 odd crore rupees of top line. And we believe that it's pretty decent a size for a villa kind of development. So there are no definitive plans of expanding this size further beyond this at this point in time.
So first Devanahalli will be there, right, sir? Next Sarjapur will come, right, sir?
First Devanahalli should be launched.
Sir, you had highlighted in the last quarter that cash is not the best position to be in. We want to go up to 1:1 leverage and increase the BD activity. Any progress you would like to highlight, sir? Because in our presentation, we couldn't see anything.
So, you know, I mean, of course, we have to leverage. That's what I said in the initial comments also, that right now we are sitting at a negative listing and we have to quickly deploy and raise reasonable amount of debt out there. Now, that obviously, raising debt is, with this kind of a headroom, obviously is not a big challenge. But the challenge really will be to have these projects and reaching and taking these projects up to a stage where we have to pay. Now, we as a company would be a little more conservative in terms of parting our money, even if we had definitive or preliminary term sheet signed for individual projects. So we would like to be very sure before we release even a single penny to a third party, and that's what has been happening. As we speak, a lot of efforts are going into the marketplace and there are things which are happening, but of course they are not mature enough for us to release any significant money onto those projects. But having said that, minor investments like expansion of Devanahalli, etc., etc., and the monies to be paid to Sarjapur landowners, etc., are happening in any case. But then we are also generating cash on an ongoing basis. So till the time we pay one large amount to one land parcel, towards one land parcel, maybe investment could be in the region of 150, 200 odd crores or thereabouts, we really don't need to take leveraging. But the idea is to exhaust this limit of kind of debt that we need to raise very, very quickly. And this will happen as we start closing and paying for the lands which are under negotiation and discussions right now. But there is a healthy pipeline of and fairly advanced stages of discussions on many of these land parcels. And hopefully we should be able to share some details in a very short amount of time from now.
Just one last question from my side. So given the certainty of the launches in H1, both the projects, can we assume that 1,000 crores booking for FY23, sir? Or will it be some challenges to meet that 1,000 crores booking mark?
Normally, as a practice, we would continue to avoid giving any definitive numbers and predictions thereabout. All we normally would tend to say is that there is a great, healthy pattern of growth that we have been able to achieve through the critical parameters, and we've been growing anything between 20-30% on the critical kind of, you know, variables there. So our endeavor is to continue that momentum, and with these launches being planned and maybe a few more coming in, we should be able to maintain this kind of a growth rate over what we achieved last year.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ritvik from One Up Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening, sir. And
Ritvik, sorry to stop you. May I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening, and congratulations on a great 2022. Sir, I have a few questions. Firstly, you mentioned that we have increased prices, to mitigate the rising costs. So, would it be possible to share a ballpark figure on the blended portfolio?
On what? Sorry, on what? Blended portfolio. Okay.
On the blended portfolio across all the projects?
Price increase, the first question first. Of course, we have passed on certain amount of increases in the marketplace. Fortunately for us, the way our construction stages are or were when prices started going up in a very steep way, were at a very advanced stage, and hence a lot of steel and cement kind of material consumption oriented projects were at a fairly advanced stage. So to that extent, the impact has been limited. But of course, this is holding true for the projects which are already under construction. It doesn't mean anything when it comes to new launches. So if you were to restrict ourselves to the impact on the company on a current ongoing basis, there is not a significant impact here comparatively. It's not commensurate to what kind of price we've seen just because of the stage we are in. So that's one saving grace. But irrespective of that, because the increase has been so much, even the leftover construction is not to be ignored, and it's fairly decent level of expenditure that we have to still do. We have taken a couple of price increases already in most of our projects in the last 2 to 3 months. They are broadly, in a very broad sense, able to mitigate the partial impact that we are feeling on these projects because of the extent of completion, etc., and the extent of whatever is left over to complete. But having said that, a couple of rounds of increases have been able to at least significantly partially mitigate this price increase. But then price increase is a function of, one, how much it has happened already, two, for how long this increased level of prices will sustain, and three, how it will take, whether it will take upward or downward trajectory going forward, maybe after 3 months, 2 months, or 4 months' time from here onwards. So we are just keeping an eye on this. We don't want to be increasing prices in a very indiscriminate way and find ourselves outpriced. At the same time, a very cautious and calculated kind of call is being taken on each of the projects, individually assessing market conditions, competition, and of course, costs, etc., etc., to make sure that whatever increase we pass on is not only fair, it is sustainable, and it also is in line with the kind of forecast that we have in our mind in terms of how the cost could potentially behave.
Sure. So my next question is on the launch pipeline for FY23. If I see the presentation, we have mentioned that the yet to be launched projects are approximately 2400 to 2500 crores across Ahmedabad, Bangalore and Pune. So what would be our target for FY23? Will we be looking to launch at least these projects which are already there in the pipeline? And follow-up to this question is that are all these yet-to-be-launched projects already signed for us and are awaiting approval?
So I'll just introduce you to our CFO, Mr. Ankit Jain, who's sitting with me right now, besides Avinash, who is the COO of the company. Ankit, if you could take this question, please.
Yes, sir. Hi. So with respect to your question on the yet-to-be-launched project, so partly it has been answered in the previous question where we have mentioned that Devanahalli and Sarjapur are the projects which we plan to launch during H1 of FY23. So partially that is answered. Besides that, there is...
Bangalore, both the projects are the 1,000 crores total sales value potential is these two projects.
Yes.
Sure.
So Devanahalli, while we are not giving individual project-wise, but we had given an earlier estimate when we had done the acquisition of the project. So Devanahalli is approximately 400 odd crores and Sarjapur is approximately 600 odd crores. So this is a 1,000 crore potential which is ready for launch during H1 FY23. Besides that, we are exploring of opening of Forestay Phase 5 as we speak. So this might also get launched during H1. There is a project, Bukum.
For Forest Project.
Yeah, Forest Project, if you are asking about the status, this is the next phase which is already under approvals. We are hopeful that in next couple of months approval should be in place. And the endeavor is to launch even that phase 4 of Forest in half 1 or very, very early half 2. So that's the idea there as well. Bukum is at a little early stage. We are doing a diligence still. There are things that we are kind of doing and working on from regulatory point of view, from titles point of view, fairly at an advanced stage. Once that is done, obviously then we get down to the actual planning. And then so it's a little longish cycle for Bukum. If at all, the best case scenario could be that we launch it in the last quarter four of this year, or maybe then if that doesn't happen early next year. But that's how it is from project to project. And this covers pretty much everything, right?
Yes.
Sorry, sir. Last project, which did you mention? I missed the name.
This is a project or the land where we have signed an agreement in Pune. It's a location called Bhugaon.
Right. Last quarter which we had mentioned.
Yeah. So as of now it is a binding agreement. There are certain conditions precedent which are
under, kind of achievement and execution and that's happening, right? Yeah, at this point.
So best case we will be launching all these projects in FY23.
So, I mean, we definitely are targeting to launch 3 projects this year. H1 is to put together. I mean, that's how the sheet is being shown here and that's the target, yes.
Sure. Okay. And sir, my last question is on the business development pipeline. We've had an excellent year and, even when we didn't have any new sales, new launches in Q4 FY22, we did 150 crores of sales value, which is very healthy. So, with collections going strong and with the new launches planned for FY23, what is the kind of business development that you think that we can look to acquire in FY23 for future launches? Just wanted to pick your thoughts on that.
So I think this got answered in the previous question where we said we got a very significant headroom when it comes to investing further. It's a zero debt situation. We got 120 crore rupees of surplus lying in the books of account. Plus, even if it was to be 0.7-0.8 debt equity, then 300 to 400 crore rupees can be raised. Plus, we are working on some other capital structure as well. So all we can at this point tell is that there is a very significant room and building blocks when it comes to mobilizing more investments is all in place. We should be rolling out all these plans in acquiring newer projects in the coming months, and specifics possibly could be shared the moment individual deals are done, etc. But there is a very healthy pipeline. The team is busy and we are aggressively sourcing. Of course, we are conservative when it comes to evaluating risk mitigation, etc. But having said that, at this point, we are all guns blazing in the market to make sure that we deploy this headroom at the earliest possible time.
Sure. So this is very encouraging. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chaitanya Shah from Silverline Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Am I audible?
Yeah, you can go ahead, please.
So my question is regarding two projects, Avishkar and Oasis. I think they got moved into the completed portion this quarter, right? I think we started recognizing revenue for both of them.
Yes.
So just wanted to understand now, the booking value and the recognized revenue, there is a significant difference. For Avishkar, you booked 92 crores and the recognized is 28, and for Oasis, I can see only half of the booking value is recognized. So just wanted to understand how the accounting over here works. And my continuing with that, the unrecognized portion of the revenue is given as 1005 crores. So if you can just give the basis of calculation for that. Thank you.
Sure. See, the revenue recognition criteria is based on performance obligation, which is dependent on two conditions. One is completion of the project or receipt of the BU or OC, what we call. The second criteria is receipt of the money with respect to the booking value, right? So this is the satisfaction of the criteria. The revenue has been recognized. The balance revenues will get recognized as and when we collect the balance amount from the customers.
So even in the collections, the collections are 57 crore for Avishkar and Oasis is 164 crores. So yeah, the numbers are even lesser than that.
At the unit level, we cannot look at the overall aggregate level. While a certain portion, for example, maybe upfront 10%, someone would have paid 50%. So those units do not satisfy the criteria for revenue recognition. For beyond a certain threshold only, the revenue recognition criteria is met, and hence we recognize at a unit level, not at a overall project level.
So there will always be a gap between when we receive money in absolute sense and when such a value is recognized in the books of account, because each individual sales in terms of one unit is either qualifying or not qualifying for recognition at a point in time. And hence, you could pick up only those specific units to recognize sales in where the threshold of receipts have been crossed. So there might be a situation in a project where, 100 crores have come, but no unit qualifies to be recognized in the books of accounts. So this is a very typical and very established way of determining what can be recognized and what cannot be recognized. The only takeaway that we could be having here is that the difference between what we've sold and what we've recognized is a great thing to have, and the bigger that amount means we have a lot of sales which has actually been effected in the marketplace, pending these thresholds to be met, they are now bound to come indicatively in the books of account. And that number as we speak for the company as a whole stands at around 1,000 crores. That means 1,000 crore rupee sales is such where some money has come, but we have not recognized such sales into the books of account due to these thresholds not having met. So this is the situation happening in these two projects as well, and any difference thereof between the sales value and the recognized value, or even the collection value and the recognized value, only represents the difference of thresholds being achieved on individual basis for the unit specifics.
Right. Okay. Understood. And so my second question is regarding the two projects in Bangalore and the project in Pune. How much capital are we estimating will we have to put in these projects, and are you going to will it require you raising debt, or just if you could give me some clarity on that.
So I mean a broad ballpark, Bukum, if you're talking about, Pune is around 100 crore rupees of land investment. And when we talk about Bangalore, this is Sarjapur. Sarjapur is a JD project. So the total outflow is not going to be more than 15 crores there because it's a JD project. We only have to pay the deposit part of it, which is in the thereabouts of around 15 crores. So these are the potential cash flows. Yes.
Okay. So when you give the 1500 crores number in the estimated operating cash flow, majority of the cash flows are being, you're assuming that majority of the cash flows will be financed by the sales, right?
By the
customer sales.
So, with respect to a project which is under JD, it is linked with the collection and is linked to sales only. So, hence, naturally, that will be paid from the sales receipt. With respect to Bukum, it is an outright purchase, which will come out from our surplus or from the debt which we raise.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital N. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So as per accounting, any broad guidance that we can have on revenue and PAT of FY23 and FY24?
As a practice, we don't give guidance. But, investor presentation per se is quite exhaustive. It's a format which we started using for the last couple of quarters. And I think there will be a fair amount of data points there to kind of understand the company in a more holistic and better way. We'll encourage you to go through the presentation. And if you have any specific questions to ask from the presentation, to the extent of publicly disclosed information that we would have done otherwise, we'll be very happy to share and discuss with you.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chaitanya Shah from Silverline Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for giving me the opportunity again. My second question is on the commercial project in Bangalore. Could you just give me an overview of what this project is, and are we looking at strata sales, or are we going to lease the space out?
Your last sentence was not too clear. If you can repeat that, please.
The commercial project in Bangalore.
Yeah.
Can you give me an overview of the project, and are we looking to sell the project, or are we going to lease it out? What is the plan there?
So, we are not kind of developing this for a yield income. Everything has to be sold. We are constructing to sell. And the sales is happening right now. And project is under execution at a fairly fast pace at this point. So idea is to sell everything.
Okay, all right. That's it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nasser Parik from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is on margins. So when you show, you know, when you're talking about the 1500 crore operating cash flow, given you know, the kind of raw material price increases we're seeing, you know, what is the sense of margins for these kind of future cash flows, and you know, to maintain say the margins at current levels, what kind of price increases do you think you need to take in some of your planned projects to kind of justify maintaining the current level of margins?
It's a good question. I mean, I think this is one of those questions which must be getting asked in every real estate forum and every call that, you know, developers would have, because obviously the cost increase has been steep, and no denying the fact that unless this gets passed on, there can be pressure on the margins. But, you know, fortunately here for us on the current portfolio, which is under execution, most of the things are either already completed and we are selling the inventory, or the construction is at a fairly advanced stage, and hence the impact overall on the project cost, etc., is not too significant. And significant portion of such impact, the leftover impact, possibly can be passed on, and we've already started doing it. So we don't see any major problem on the current portfolio. But what is important to important for all of us is to look beyond what we are doing right now. And obviously there, you know, even the cost scenario, the cost predictions are not stabilized yet. I think one thing we could possibly say with a reasonable amount of confidence is that possibly we've seen the peak already, and the cost has seen the highs that it had to see. And from here onwards, on an at least aggregated level, we should start seeing improvements in terms of some of the basic materials coming back to some sort of levels which are more sustainable. But of course, it has to play out. As we said, affordability in the marketplace is at its finest. The income levels have increased. The salary increases and macro earning reports have been encouraging, and hence consumers are still in a position to buy, so to say. We don't see any significant dent or depreciation happening when it comes to overall viability and you know, affordability of housing per se. So medium term, we don't see any major impact coming unless we haven't seen enough of the cost increase that happened in the last 3 to 6 months' time. And we definitely see a significant potential to increase prices within a band. And that band should be decent enough to broadly kind of you know, cover up. So all in all, it's a situation which is unfolding. But at the same time, we see scope of improving and increasing pricing in bands that are acceptable and affordable in the marketplace. And that should be broadly okay in terms of you know, absorbing the extra cost. But having said that, some minor impact possibly could come, and new launches will need to be calibrated in terms of pricing, etc., keeping the more sustained level of cost increase, which will crystallize in next maybe couple of months, 3-4 months time from now.
Got it. Thank you. And my second question is just in terms of duration or the timeline, especially for the ongoing projects which we are launching. You know, what is the timeline that we should assume for this 1500 crore cash flow that you have? And on any of the projects that are, you know, ongoing, is there any delay that is there any significant delay that you would like to highlight?
We have already given an estimated completion timeline for each of the projects, if you could refer to the investor presentation. And with respect to this 1500 operating cash flow, this is the operating cash flow which is yet to come or unfold over the next 3 to 4 years. as and when by the time we complete these projects and we realize the entire cash.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prem Khurana from Anand Rathi Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. Most of my questions have already been answered, so just a couple of clarifications. So basically, first was to kind of to continue with the question asked by the previous participant in terms of inflationary pressures that we've seen. So how would this make us change our sales strategy? I mean, what I want to understand, would this make you to kind of go little slower, try and phase out your sales little more so that you're able to kind of take price hikes and cover for the inflationary pressure, or you would want to sell less than when you're able to sell and you're not bothered about whether the inflationary pressure would stay there? So if you could share your thoughts on this piece, and then I'll take up the second question later.
So there's no question of having any sort of deceleration of sales as an effort. So we'll sell what we sell, and we'll put all our efforts in the direction that we maximize sales at any given point in time. And cost pressure is right, everything is fine, but when it comes to sales, we are all there, and we're putting all efforts to do all the time. So that's not a problem. All we need to do is that we need to be careful while launching new projects, because they will have the maximum impact of any sustainable cost increase that we'll see as it unfolds. And we need to calibrate our pricing vis-a-vis such cost increases, and at the same time sustainability in the marketplace in terms of salability, etc. At the end of the day, consumer is important. At the end of the day, their affordability is more important than what the margins are. But having said that, we think that there are reasonable reasons to believe that there is a reasonable amount of headroom to increase the cost, increase the prices to start with. And there is also a possibility of cost getting stabilized in the next couple of months or 3 months' time from now onwards. A lot of macros should be falling in place. A lot of uncertainties should go away. A lot of turbulences which we see across the globe. I mean, a lot of it is related to what is happening outside our country. Those things should also settle a little better. So, we are not linking our sales effort to the inflation and these temporary things happening. Either way it goes, I think the sales engine has to perform and continue to perform with full rigor and vigor at all times, and that's what we are doing and focusing on.
Thanks. And just to understand, I mean, your price strategy a little better. So, I mean, let's say if you have two projects, one which is already launched and you've been selling it for a while now, and you already have some lead pipeline in place where people have visited the site, they have negotiated to a certain extent, and there's a new launch. And if you want to take a price hike, I mean, is it easier to take a price hike if it is a new launch because there is no benchmark in place and you're starting afresh, so you could sell it as if, I mean, there's a different amenity, the configuration is different, and you can set a price, I mean, which is kind of is able to justify the kind of effort that you put in and you're able to have margins, and versus something which is already launched and you've been selling it for a while now and there you're taking a price hike wherein there's a benchmark number already in the market and people know, I mean, you were selling at this price some time back. So how easy or difficult is it to be able to take price hike with an older project versus a new launch?
Now, this is very, very specific, you know. I mean, each project will behave very differently, and it's a summing of many, many factors. In fact, to the contrary, there are situations where as the project progresses, the scope of increasing prices actually are significantly higher, and we've got several examples out there. Three of our largest projects, the High Grove, the Forest and Uplands, they've all shown that when we show a project in a more mature and advanced way and stage, the increase in price is disproportionate, and hence in the context of such projects where customers could come, feel and see the quality, quantity, etc., etc., I mean, you could actually, it's easier to take price increases. That's what our experience has been. In fact, even prior to the cost increases, we could take very significant increases just because the projects look very different. So I think it evens out, and potential to raise prices in an existing project is as great, if not more, as compared to a newly launched project, so to say. We'll rather believe in the other thing, that you do job in a way that customers are excited when they see stuff, and they should be willing more to pay more when they see what is happening in a project. And that's what is our technical, you know. And we've been doing this day in, day out. We'll rather have a progressive pricing mechanism where at each stage we can command better price, and that's how everybody feels happy and feels more satisfied. And that you invested, you trusted a brand, and the brand performed, and it delivered, and it showed very, very brisk and great progress, and that's why more people want to buy. And you kind of create that FOMO kind of environment, that look, this guy invested and I also should be investing because this is the kind of progress and the project today is delivered. So we believe that it's actually the other way around, and newer projects should have more potential to increase prices.
Sure. And just one last, if I may, could you help us with the launch pipeline for FY23? Because if I heard you correctly in your opening remarks, you said, I mean, Q4 is somewhat lower than your Q4 FY21 in terms of bookings, because you couldn't, or rather, I mean, last year you had a couple of launches wherein you saw seriously good demand, which is how you could have larger number last year, versus this year Q4 wherein the sales were slightly so because you did not have launches. So if you could help us with the launch pipeline for FY23, please, and how do we ensure that, I mean, you don't get to have these kind of situations wherein, I mean, you don't have a new project to offer in any single quarter. So I mean, were we planning to launch any project during the quarter and we couldn't have approvals in place in time, which is why you missed the launch, or we did not have any launches planned for Q4 because we had some inventory available and we want to liquidate inventory? Yeah, that'll be it from my side. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
So I mean, I think the sales pattern always needs a little bit of a dissection into what is a steady state sale and what is a new project launch stage. It's like in retail, you ask the question, what is the growth of sales in the same store, on the same store basis, and how many stores you opened, and that's contributing to what extent of additional sales. If you merge these two, this will be little bit of a blinding, so to say, in terms of really understanding the data. So when it comes to steady state sales or the sustainable sales, that as we call it in real estate, that has been pretty healthy, and we've grown significantly. 150 crore is pretty much the sustainable sale out of the projects which were already launched. And of course, the launch timelines being anything between 6 months to 12 months for new projects to be launched, and the kind of projects that we are doing, large ones, horizontal projects, etc., the timeline to launch from acquisition is anything between 6 to 12 months. So it will normally not be possible to launch very consistently every quarter in, quarter out, and hence there will be orientation in the numbers that you'll show. These are just about explanations to why a decline is visible and what are the easiest explanations to those. But having said that, these fluctuations obviously will come down as the base size of the company kind of increases. So a company which has 10 projects in total and adding 2 or 3 or 4 every year will have more of these peaks and troughs as compared to a company which has 50 projects and they add 15 every year. So to that extent, depending upon the life cycle of the company, this will vary. But in the context of overall understanding of the trajectory of the company, whether or not and to what extent it's progressing, the sales engine is working, etc., I think having dissected this kind of a bifurcation will give enough and more tools and wisdom to the reader of the data to decipher what's happening in the company.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That explains. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamal Singhal, MD and CEO, for closing comments.
Great. Thanks a lot. And I once again thank everybody who participated in this call. Thanks again for sparing time. It's been a great run for all of us in the last more than 8 quarters. We've shown that the economy has bounced back and the company is prepared and equipped to not only exploit the situation which we've seen in the last few quarters, but also take advantage of the sustained environment that we see, which is all positive. We need to be mindful of a couple of variables which are there, commodity pricing to start with, interest rates to again be kept in mind, etc. But I think there is enough momentum, there is enough reasons to believe that this momentum is going to be continuing, and we are pretty much equipped to handle it. We have a very, very strong and robust investment cycle in place, initiative in place, and hopefully we should be able to add to our existing pipeline of inventory in a very, very significant way in a very short amount of time, and that has been our endeavor. Thank you very much once again for participating in this call, and I wish you all the best for your endeavors. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.